good to be together today.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. I was handed this, Brother Brick gave me this, raise in the hospital, still in the hospital.
Health South.
In 202, I don't know if he's expecting visitors or give a call or.
Okay.
But he'll be in there for 10 to 14 more days. Is that correct? Brother Ray and Betty, what a warrior. Been through so much health wise for as long as I've known him and never complains. Just keeps on marching and doing the Lord's work. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. You are the people that God has put you into my life to teach me about what I want to talk about today. As Brother Britt read Psalm 133, and I'll read it again, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? That's what I want to talk to you today about. Talk about unity. It's something, you know, we've got a church family, and yeah, we're united with Christ, and everything in our life is good and great. Sometimes we tend to take for granted. Last Friday, I don't know if you looked up in the sky, but I happened to look up in the sky. A stressful day, and I just looked up for some reason. There were these beautiful clouds. It was just a picture-perfect sky. It was just blue, the most beautiful view of blue, with little cotton ball clouds, and they were all spaced out just perfectly. And in fact, I told everybody on the show, I said, look how beautiful that sky is. And that sky is over top of me every single day. And I just take it for granted. You can take sunny days for granted. You can take rain for granted.
Mm-hmm.
We've had nothing. But my point is that we take stuff for granted. And the beautiful thing that we have is our unity together. I just want to take a look at some of the benefits. You know, just the beauty of unity itself. When people of free will get together, and they join up with one another. We all have our separate lives, but we join up together for a purpose. That's a beautiful thing. When it's in love, it's perfect. How powerful unity is. You know, one person can do a lot, but it's just a basic law. The more people, if you put people together for a common goal, you're going to get it done. There's power in numbers. There's power in unity. The unity that we have in Jesus Christ is unstoppable. There's nothing in the universe that can stop the power that we have together in Jesus Christ. Unstoppable. There is. That's an incredible thought. We need to remember that always. One of the things that's been a great benefit of unity for me, and I know for all of you, is the security that we have in unity. How secure do we feel being together? You know, when people talk about going to church, and I tell them, I've got a church family. I said, if my house burnt down, whatever happens to me, whatever happens to my church family, God's family, will be there.
Amen.
And that's... We got to remember that. Kind of like that beautiful sky. It's there, we know it's there. You know, you remember when you need it. But we always need to remember and appreciate God's unity that He has for us. Unity is something that you have to guard, you have to protect. Because we have a lot of choices that we can make. We make choices every single day in our lives. And that unity needs to be priority. We choose our friends. We choose what kind of opportunities we're going to take advantage of. And then we choose what we want. All those choices that we make can affect our unity. The first thing it affects is our unity with Christ. Because we put Him first. What does He think about this? Is this the type of friend that I need to have in my life? You can be an acquaintance. You can share Christ with them. But is this the person that you bring into your life. Opportunities. You know, Brother Wes told me one time, you know, your job would offer you overtime pay, and you could work every other weekend. Is that, yes, I could, you know, who doesn't need more money or want more money, but would that take you away from worship time with your church family? Is that a benefit? Is that money worth it to you to give up 50% of your fellowship time that you so desperately need? Your family needs you, and you need them, the body of Christ. If, like I said, the number one thing is, if it's okay with Jesus, then it's okay. You put Him first. It's just like any relationship, like a marriage relationship. How is this, how is your spouse, how does this affect your children, how does this affect your relationships? Because you put Him first. We're going to leave this place, and, well, school's almost out, but maybe might be one more week of school left. We're going to go to work, we're going to go to school, we're going to go shopping, we're going to go to the beach, we're going to go out into this world. And every time that we go out into the world and we go to work, we come back home. That world touches us in good ways and in bad ways. And I don't want to gross anybody out, but if you think about shoes, you walk around parking lots, public bathrooms, gas stations, and then you come on home. In my house, we wore shoes inside the house. In some houses of friends of mine, the mother told you to take your shoes off at the door. That might not be a bad idea, but that's what we need to do with the bad stuff of this world. Because we need to keep it out there and not bring it home. And when we come home and when we gather together, we need that purification. That's why we study God's Word, because the influences of the world get to us. This is a struggle that we have to fight. This world is constantly wanting to pull us away. Satan is the prince of the world. He wants to pull us away from our relationship with God. And he does that through division, through making trouble for us. And that can happen at home too. You've got your television, you've got Facebook, you've got all kinds of stuff on the internet. Think about how divisive those things are. Especially now, I've never seen it so bad. Satan is really pouring on through the media, of all types of media. And it's sad, and it's evil. If you watch it, you think that this country is just divided and torn, slamming through. I don't believe it. I believe they're doing some terrible work. I think the politicians are trying to keep us divided. I think this whole leadership, and I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but it's true. You can see it. And that takes an impact on us. You know, when you go out into the world, if you have a bad day at work, do you bring it home? Or do you let it go? Do you keep it at the door? Do you take your shoes off at the door? How about Facebook? People are getting offended on Facebook. Everybody's offended nowadays. How is that affecting you? How is that affecting your relationships? I have let that stuff affect my relationships. So, it should not affect my unity with my children, with you, with my other family. We shouldn't let that stuff get in the way of our relationships. That's out in the world. That stuff on your shoes, that take your shoes off. Don't bring that in your family. Get rid of it. I've been guilty of this. Well, they divide us on all types of things, whether it's race, whether it's gender, nationality, you know, our income, or for politics. How about politics for the past, I don't know how long, 10 years? How, what kind of toll was that taking on the church? That hurts. Our unity needs to come first before any of that stuff. That's a choice that we have to make. And let me tell you, in Titus 3:10, let me turn to that. Is this? Warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. I don't want to be a divisive person. I don't want to be a troublemaker for the people that I love, for God's people, for my family. I don't want to be that type of person. I'd like to be Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. This is what I want to be like. And look, I'm getting old. I've got to put on glasses. Can you see this? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, this is important. In humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You're putting other people first. You know, when you're causing division, what are you doing for? Where's the love in that? What about the people that you love? These are the people that you care for. You don't have to be right. You have to love. That's what you need to do. You need to keep community. You know, as a father, the past year or so, it's been a struggle for me for unity. Been struggling with this. And I think all parents struggle with keeping unity in the family. We have families, we have family problems that we have to deal with. People get their feelings hurt. But protecting the unity of my family, this is where it's become, where I've been going to school, God's been teaching me. And we're all going to the same school. It's out there in the world. It's in our homes, it's in our churches. Unity, paramount. Number one thing is unity. Because being a parent, we talked about this in class, and Dale, you did a magnificent job talking about God's love, His fatherly love for us. And the question was, why does He love us so much? And that's just crazy, why He loves us as much as He does. That's that crazy love that we're always talking about. But we were talking about how painful it is to be a parent, that our children can hurt us, just as we hurt God. Sometimes you just feel hopeless. Can you get all the children to the table for dinner? You know, everybody's got a schedule. Let me finish this up. I kind of feel for Mom how, you know, back in the day, you know, because I was, you know, give me 5 more minutes, Mom. But to get everybody together for dinner, how special that is. See, I want my children to know about unity, and they do. I've learned about unity from you all here at Edgefield. I'd like to tell you that you've been, I don't know how old, maybe, because I'm trying to teach my children about unity
after, you know, the brokenness of our family, how big a part, how much I've leaned on you, that when we come here and we're united with you in worship time, or with all the relationship that we have, I couldn't make it without that help. We all need help. Teaching unity comes from a lot of different sources. You know, sometimes you just feel like you're failing as a leader. Sometimes you feel like you couldn't lead, I don't know, horse to water. You just can't. I mean, sometimes as leadership, you feel that. I'm sure the elders and leadership anywhere, it's a struggle sometimes. It's great when everything's going well, but to keep the unity, we will have struggles. Do you stay together? Do you hold on? Do you weather through it? And we've done that. I'd like to tell you a story about my grandfather. Wonderful man. He didn't have much. He worked all his life and stayed independent, and he made enough money to take care of him and my grandmother until the day they died. They died at home. He came from a family, had two other brothers. And the parents died. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I've seen it a lot. When the parents die, it's just down to the children. Comes down to the inheritance, and things get really funny. And that can break many a family up because, I don't know why. But that's what happened to his family. After his parents died, they didn't have much to do with one another. And that affected my grandfather. So he raised my father and my two aunts. And he taught us about family. He taught my father about family. He taught me about family. I'm trying to teach my children about family and unity. Staying together. Not letting that stuff get in the way of what's important. And he made a will. He wrote it out handwritten, put it in a safety deposit box with some savings bonds and all that stuff from the back of his day. He grew up in the Depression. But in this letter, he divided the stuff out. He had an old tractor. He had a double-barreled shotgun. He gave that to my dad. And then Grandma had a cedar oak chest and just some furniture. And they all divided. It was divided. And he specified what should go to who. And he evenly distributed it out. And then they had the house, and they sold that, and that was to be put in thirds. And at the end of the letter, what he said was, the most important thing for him was that they remain friends, that they stay together. And that they are together. They are together. A lot of stuff has happened in my family recently with my family, but then Dawn lost her husband, and just a lot of different stuff has happened. A lot of changes in the Funk family. And we've grown closer together. I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I said, we're going to be together forever. My brother and my two sisters and I, we're going to be together. Nothing's going to get in between us. We're unified. Unified till death." And that's a beautiful, godly thing. John chapter 17, verse 20. Let me turn to that. That's Jesus praying for us. Chapter 17, verse 20. I hope I didn't mix that up. Let me read this. Starting in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave to me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Unity. The whole purpose of Jesus coming, the whole purpose for him leaving that perfect home. When we get to heaven, we're not going to want to come back here. He left there. He came down here. He experienced all the temptations. He experienced rejection from his own people. Persecution, beating, hung on the cross. He was hung on the cross alive. He wasn't dead. He was alive when he was hung on the cross. He suffered. Did it all for unity. Our unity. Unity with him, unity with the Father. That's what he did it for. To reconcile us back to our Father. As Dale was talking about. To make that possible. It is essential to our testimony. Our unity so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know. Because of our unity, it's best part of our testimony. And we need to guard that. Above anything else. Nothing should come between us. This is the only thing that's important. The rest of it's going to stay here with the world. When we leave, when we're taken up, when we go home, that junk is still going to be here. It means nothing. Our relationships, that's what it's about. Our relationships with Christ and our relationships with each other. I've learned that lesson. It hurt. But now I know. And a lot of you learn the same lesson. But it's good to reflect on how great unity is. And it's just love. It's unity and love. Same. You're more important. What do you need? Not what do I need. Putting other people first. Dying to yourself. Looking out for one another. That's all I've got. I thank you because you're a big part of me learning about unity. And I love you. And as Chuck tells me every Sunday, he loves me. And I say, I know, because I just think that's awesome. I know you love me. And I love you. And we're in unity. You know what? Unity is eternal. It's forever. Unity. We're not supposed to be broken up for any reason. Unified in love forever. Unbroken love. That's what it's about. So, if you have any struggle, if this great family full of love can help you out in any way, if you want to join God's family, then we'll sing a song and you can come forward and we'll see what God can do. Amen?